AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860, serving Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. I said a special welcome to our internet listeners because this is a growing number of people, and no matter where you're living, we want to welcome you. I'm sure that we're going to talk about the State of the Union today and do all of those things to bring attention to the positive work that we are doing here on this broadcast with our family of panel members and all of our friends and our supporters. I'd like you to go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, then sit back, relax, and enjoy. And if you did receive that email this morning, send it off to another family or friend. Make sure our continued list of sponsors, our continued list of members to the American Made campaign continues to grow. With us today, we're going to enjoy the company of Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate. Henry Chaplinsky is our engineer, and Curtis Ellis will be with us. As you know, he's the executive director of the American Jobs Alliance and an advisor to President Trump. We're also expecting to hear from Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and I'm Michael Blihash. Before we get into the full meat of the program today, I'd like to say that we had a great week this week. So many people stopped to let me know that they're tuning into the program. We have another event coming up on Saturday, Kosciuszko Day. I'll have a chance to speak to some of the people. And this is also the first full weekend of the month. And you know that it's National Small Business Weekend, an effort we introduced during this broadcast back in 2012. And it certainly has helped promote local businesses by asking our supporters to go out and shop local, because many of the local businesses were saying they lost so many people to the malls and other stores that were easy to get to, good parking, shopping carts, the whole deal. So we've been urging our people to share their resources with the big places and the local businesses as well. And Mark Andel had another very positive article that appeared about the Made in America store. He sent me a copy of it. We'll ask him to let us know a little bit about that. And as I say so often, Mark Andel's store is probably one of the few, if only, place you will be able to find 100% of everything in the store guaranteed to be made in America. And I encourage you to check him out on the internet by going to madeinamericastore.com. Before we get to our other panel members, I want to also let you know that in the last few months, Mark Andel has been doing a radio show in the Buffalo area. It's on Saturday mornings, and it has a rebroadcast on Sunday mornings. We did put a link up on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and you can see it on the right-hand side. It's right under the Made in America store link. You'll be able to listen to the last few shows. And with that, I'm going to ask Mark to let us know about that article and also about his Saturday broadcast.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mike. Good morning, everyone, and our listeners. Welcome. Mike, thank you for bringing up our show, that's in local Buffalo. We're kind of central on WEC, W-E-C-K, but it's the Made America Store show, and every week, again, we feature an entrepreneur, inventor, a business person for half the show, and, Mike, I know you know you're going to be a guest this weekend, so great stuff. We were blessed again with more press from Linda McMahon joining. She came down January 19th, which was a Friday. She was point on, head of the Small Business Association. Just a great day, but I was very surprised this past Sunday. We were We were honored again to be in the Buffalo News front page of business section, Sunday paper. My father had called. He's 81, of course, gets all excited. They had my mugshot, Mike, with Linda. Opening the prospectus, which was a 40-page section that comes out every year, but it targeted small business. It targeted skilled trade shortage, taxes, everything we talk about in Live and Breathe, Mike. This article, it was neat to be leading the charge. And again, we stand up for the, you know, the blue-collar worker and the worker in skilled trades and business. And it was just great to be featured. Again, Linda really understands what we go through and wants to know. And I believe she's responsible for almost 29 million small businesses. So she collects information and brings it back to the president, and they try to come up with answers. So, Mike, it was a blessing to be again. What a media run. Even New York Times had called. I didn't mention that, Mike. But they asked for a picture of my father. Now he's 81, you know. So he was. But he's been through the skilled trades. 81 years old, iron worker, Ford Motor, you know, came up poor. So it's neat that they respect that. And you just can't say enough, Mike, for what you do and what, you know, our whole team here.
Well, the main thing is, Mark, that you are showing through the press, through your radio broadcast, and through your store, that it can be done, that focus and consistency does pay off.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I believe we saw as we watched the State of the Union address last evening, as President Trump said several things. And I'd like to hear from our panel members, including you, Mark. I'm going to first turn it over to Mr. Connolly. Larkin Connolly, how did you enjoy the State of the Union?
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, listeners. Mark, Curtis, Henry, and Rich. I found the address, the State of the Union address, to be a spot on. And I'll tell you why spot on. It's actually the president approaching the country and the Congress to give them his take on the state of our union. And I think he pretty much hit the nail on the head. He didn't say anything I didn't expect him to say. He highlighted a lot of stuff that we already know is important to him. He did it in a very controlled environment. He's got an enormous target on his back. I read this morning in the Times, I think it was, where they claim that no president has ever applauded himself during the address the way Trump did, and actually was applauding for the people he pointed out in the stands. You know, it's amazing how the Never Trumpers just absolutely refused to move the country forward. He said exactly what I thought he would say, and highlighted exactly what I thought he highlighted. The Republicans stood for just about everything that he said. The Democrats stood for very little. The thing that irritated me the most about the whole thing was the number of people, I think it was between 15 and 20 congressmen and women who did not show up to the speech, all Democrats, all in opposition. And I find that to be, I mean, if I elected any one of these people, I would have probably made plans to not vote for them ever again. You vote for people to represent you in Washington, D.C., and not attending the State of the Union address, whether you agree or disagree with his policies, to me is a dereliction of duty. I mean, it's not doing your job. That's why we sent you there, to stay home and pretend like you're not going to be a part of the fix. To me, just isn't acceptable. I expected nothing less than that from Maxine Waters and John Lewis. I expected nothing less of that from most of the people, Frederica Wilson and you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was on a speaking tour. The press managed to make it that she was tired of talking about Trump. but she had already planned the speaking tour and was in New Jersey giving a speech last night. But just the people that didn't show up, the lack of respect. I know that Trump is void in some issues of leadership qualities that allow him to bring the government and the people together. But, you know, if you're elected to Congress, you show up to the State of the Union, you show up to the inauguration. There are certain duties that you have in representing the people of the United States of America and deciding that you don't like a man and his policies or some of the ways that he says different things should not, to me, allow you not to attend the proceedings. So shame on the 15 to 20 Congress people who did not go to the
It was shameful. I agree. It was shameful. They tried to spoil the night, and I think that it was not spoiled at all.
You can't look to any one of those 15 people and expect to see any quick answers, any collaboration, any working with. I mean, they're just going to be impossible to work with. They have absolutely no intentions. So why just send them home and save the money?
You're saying that there are spoilers from the first second, so why are they there? I thought I heard a speech that was really well presented. We heard about tax reform, business reform, a focus on jobs, job training in America's schools. I thought that was great. That was real. I heard a message of optimism. Of course, people that followed afterwards were very off the wall as far as I'm concerned. The State of the Union address really brought forth bread and butter issues, meat and potatoes issues. And I thought that President Trump focused on the message of America first, which is something all of us have been doing for many, many years. The TV viewership in America was extremely high, better than most we've had in many years. It was also watched and recorded by national and international leaders. International leaders who want to see what's going on. But most important, it represented the accomplishments for the American people that his administration helped bring about. Less regulations, less taxes. We're reviewing all the trade agreements. American made is our most important priority. We honor everybody in America, but we have to remember that as Americans, we have to honor each other first. That's the message I got from it. And President Trump, as he stated, that he wants all people in the room to work together. All leaders of the entire USA should take that and say, yes, it's our time to work together. What are we going to do for America? I thought and spoke to people this morning, and they were very pleased. I was shocked that everybody said they watched. That was number one shock. And number two, that they thought it was a very well-presented speech talking about America now and its future. What do you say to that, Mr. Curtis Ellis?
I thought it was a remarkable speech. I've never really heard a State of the Union address like that, which touched emotional chords as well as intellectual. The typical State of the Union is sort of a policy laundry list. President Trump reached for something higher. He reached for the spirit that animates the United States of America. He tried to touch this, and I believe he did. He succeeded in touching the soul of America. He used words like that, soul, the beauty of our soul, the steel in our spine. It was amazing. I wholeheartedly agree with what Larkin said. The Democrats did themselves no favors whatsoever by looking so glum. As President Trump talked about one nation, one people, one soul, one heart. Together we can do anything. We can solve the problems in front of us. The Democrats refused to applaud, refused to stand up, refused to even smile. By doing so, what were they saying? They were not boycotting the speech, they were not boycotting the president. They were boycotting America. They were standing aside from America. Donald Trump was saying there are no Republicans, there are no Democrats, there are only Americans. And without saying it, there are only Americans and non-Americans. By their actions, the Democrats were saying, we're not Americans. We're not believing in this. I'm looking at a study here that was done by a Princeton psychologist back in 2007. His name is Alexander Todorov. And what this study, it's famous in political circles among political campaign people. The study demonstrates that just quick facial judgments can accurately predict election returns. These people were shown still photographs of two faces, sometimes as briefly as a tenth of a second, and then they were asked to judge the competency of the two candidates, of the two photos they were shown. In 72% of the time, the people were able to pick the winner of the election just by looking at a still photograph of the face of a candidate. Keep that in mind as you think about what happened last night. You had President Trump on the podium speaking in soaring terms about the Statue of Freedom, the monument to the people of America being the capital of the United States, about the heroes that live around us, that sacrifice to raise a family, saying Washington, this capital city, belongs to those people. The people dreamed this country. The people built this country. The people will make this country great again. He's saying things like that, and the Democrats are standing there, sitting there, looking like Nancy Pelosi looks like she's sucking on a lemon. They're looking like they lost their best friends. I believe that the Democrats did themselves a huge disservice, and they may have just lost the midterm elections last night. Because unlike you and me and everybody on this show, everybody on this panel, and many of the people in the audience today, most people do not pay attention to politics that much. They tune in. They probably tuned in last night to hear, well, you know, the president's giving a speech. Let's find out what's going on in the political world. Then they go back to the Super Bowl or their kid's soccer game or their job. And that's what they think about, their family most of the time. They entrust, as you said, Michael, they entrust our representatives to take care of this political stuff. I know they're a bunch of liars and cheats, so I don't want to think about that. I'll let them do it. That's why I voted for them. So they tune in last night just to, you know, take the pulse, check in, see what's going on with those folks, those crazy people in Washington, and what do they see? They see the president talking about everything they believe in. We're one country, we're a great country, we're a great people, and no matter what our ethnic or religious or cultural differences, we're all the same. And then they see the Democrats sitting there looking like they've got food poisoning or something, or the bird flu, I've never seen such a bunch of miserable-looking people in my life. You've got President Trump, MAGA, make America great again, and you've got Nancy Pelosi, MAMA, make America miserable again.
Curtis, you make a very, very, very good point. I didn't see it that way. I saw the separation and the inability of one side of the aisle, and that's been going on for decades, where the Democrats or Republicans have a tendency not to stand when the president is speaking about something that they don't agree with, or they think that he's misspeaking, whatever. But you're 100% right. The Democrats did not do themselves a favor last night. They hung themselves out there. They really kind of showed their stripes to the entire country. And you're right. I'm not here to defend either side. I'm here to be pragmatic. But all in all, the Democrats really kind of screwed themselves right to the wall.
They really did. I think they went in there. I can't believe they they planned that. Maybe they planned that. Maybe they sat down in the Congress and said, what we're going to do is, okay, put on your mean face. Put on your miserable face. Think of the time your dog died. And that's how I want you to look all night. But then they got in there, and they were stuck. They didn't have a timeout to say, well, let's run a different play. This isn't working. They were stuck with this loose play for 90 minutes.
Mark, what did you think of this?
Yeah, well,
this speech?
I was glued to it. Rich wasted. You know, it's funny, when I met Donald Trump, and remember, not as political as you guys, and I really liked that Donald Trump wasn't really into politics at the time, but he was going to run for the New York State governor, if you remember, and I was invited, and me and my buddy Matt Marine friend made him the boots on the ground and gave Donald Trump the boots on the ground at Salvatore's restaurant in Western New York here. And it was funny, when I asked met Donald Trump, he said, what would you like out of a governor type thing? I said, well, we always talk about we want I want a qualified businessman, we want term limits, and I want a report card. And why I bring that up, and Trump at the time had said, you want term limits, huh? And then he left me, and my buddy had gave him that boots on the ground, and he teared up, and he put that in his first car, and it was really an honor, because when we did that for our veterans that serve, and he had tears in his eyes, and that told me what type of person he was. But when I see that, what I heard last night was the report card we want, I think. I think to me it was a report card where we are. I actually felt confident after, and I liked him using, Rich texted me when it was, he talked about skilled trades, but then he talked about a welder. He said, and I heard, you're a very good welder, your owner says, but he was, I think he's doing what he said he was going to do afterwards. I'd heard different things. The negativity in the room, I couldn't believe either, and Curtis, you hit it on the head. In my own shop, 80 employees, if you get negativity, you got to run it out of town. If you get the bad attitude, you've got to run it out of town. But what they displayed there, nothing's good is wrong, because everybody knows that something's good. And with ExxonMobil giving $50 billion in 5 years to the manufacturer in the United States and targeting Texas, with all these good things, and everybody, my sister works at M&T Bank in Western New York, every employee out of 1,000 plus got $1,000. And I had a guy Monday night come and said, well, my fiscal year ends Wednesday. I'm going to buy $10,000 in Made in America gift cards for my 200 employees. I'm like, what's so wrong with that? So, Mike, I think it was point on. It was who he is and what he's doing, and it was the report card. I seen his son talking about, boy, could you imagine if Trump didn't have the luggage and the baggage and the culture and the tax every day? If he's doing this much, how much more he could do? And he's about the boots and not about the suits. When he built something, he talked to the construction workers. And I think people miss that. Trump did things. He builds things. He does things. He knows what we go through, and I respected that speech.
And I have to tell you, 99% of that speech was written by him. They may have doctored it up a little bit, but that's how he is. I've met Trump on 3 occasions in the past on other issues in New York and down the shore. But that's him. And I have to say this, as the people and I were talking as I went out for coffee this morning, they said, it's a shame those people sat around with those miserable faces. But there's one thing that no media reported on afterwards, and that is those are the people who've been there for 30 and 40 years, who were there for the last 8, 16 and 25 years and 30 years, and nothing has been done positive. Here in 1 year, we're seeing something happening. Somebody took the apple tree and shook it and got the apples off the tree. Now you pick them up, you sell them, and you have a good time.
And Mike,
with
I
the
think
proceeds.
I think it's what America do we want? What's your view of America? I mean, I like the America I grew up in and my parents had and worked for. So I think there's a big, possibly a difference, but I came into work today, and a lot of people were excited, and I'm seeing more confidence and more confidence with business.
I'll tell you, the conversation this morning was so positive. I don't bring it up because I do give out our American Workers Radio, and I tell people to tune in at 11 o'clock wherever I'm at. And people said, did you see the speech? And I thought it was great. It was positive. It presented optimism. You know, it gave me hope that I'm going to be my daughter, who's graduating school, this end of this year. gave me hope that there will be peace. And, you know, some people said, well, I'd like to see some of the money reduced off of the college loans and also the kids have a fighting chance in the future and all that. Something I'd write to the president and ask him to help the students out with. But they also like the idea that he's looking at the school system and looking at the possibility of getting more workers to pass through America's schools because we're paying the bill, and yet we have nothing to say about it.
In a past life, I had responsibility for multiple capital budgets where commercial property was developed and built. And I will say, the one thing that he said last night that I hadn't heard before was that he was going to cut the yellow tape, cut all this gobbledygook that the country has to, the developers of this country have to go through in order to get a permit to build something.
Well, that's a fact. You know yourself, some time ago, Larkin, you mentioned one of the people you were mentoring through SCORE. They had their business ready to open and go, but they had a problem with getting a medallion for their disposal unit outside.
Larkin, I think you're referring to, I mean, they said 1 year to build the Empire State Building and 10 years to get a permit to get going on a bridge or a road.
Right.
And that's a fact. I'll tell you, going through the expressway from the bridge through to get to New York, to get to Queens, to get to Brooklyn, that thing has been on the market for 30 years and it's still not fixed.
Find me somebody that wants to argue with me about the about bloated city, county, and state governments that hold up projects like this. And I'll post an argument against any one of them. They don't have the guts to stand up to me face to face and argue about this because it is truly an intention problem in this country. And it's a bunch of bureaucrats that are trying to justify their job that ultimately only do things like decide, well, okay, we'll approve this, but you have to buy Chinese steel. You know, hit the bricks. That's just uncalled for, and it happens all the time in this country.
You know, guys, I think that our message now is really more important than ever because there is a cheerleader in Washington. We see what both sides of the aisle were doing yesterday. How are we going to tell the people to help themselves is go out and buy at their local stores, look for the American-made label. That's our theme for this year. Go out and talk to your school boards to make sure that they get the message that we want those skills back in the schools, not just pass people through because of age or, you know, sorrow, but get them through the system with some quality of education and some job skill that when they graduate, they have something to do. An employer wants them. What do you say to that, Curtis?
Well, I think that's absolutely crucial. I think we can work with the Small Business Administration and with the White House to get this message out of the theme this year of display a flag on your product that's made in America. And I think that that in itself will benefit small local businesses because they are disproportionately among those who are making things in America.
Right. And as we discussed, there is no legislation needed to do that. It is a matter of asking the companies making things in America. Mark can go to every one of his suppliers and say, can you do something to spruce up your packaging or add something
Absolutely.
Red, white, and blue or a little American flag? That's the theme of our entire broadcast this year. Get people to highlight the fact that they are made or assembled in the United States of America. We now have the change that we need. You can't listen anymore to these national media outlets. I think yesterday really put a nail in their coffin because there was so little negativity for them to focus on. What was said was positive, moved the country forward. I had nothing that I could say I had a complaint about.
Oh, I was on the BBC after the speech, and they were talking with me, asking me about the speech, obviously. One of the interviewers was very positive, very nice. He was doing a good job of, you know, what about this? What do you think? How was it received? Another one of the interviewers, though, brought up she was a little more combative, and it's Well, the president said that this is the largest tax cut in American history, but NBC News has just done a fact check, and they say it's not the largest tax cut in American history. It's the eighth biggest tax cut. And I said, well, look, I was watching the speech, not reading NBC News, so I can't really speak to their accounting methods. She said, well, don't you think that's important to be truthful in this? And I said, well, with all due respect, let's just, your audience needs to understand this, and I'm sure you do because you're an intelligent human being. There are many different ways to count biggest. And so I'm sure NBC found a way to say it wasn't the biggest, but that is not the only way. So, and now when I looked at the report, I did, and I see now the coverage today, so much of the major media is saying, well, you know, that he was wrong on this, and we fact-checked that. On this point of the tax cut, in dollar terms, it is the largest tax cut in American history. And if you want to talk about how much invest, I don't know of any other tax cut that's caused a major corporation to invest $350 billion in America. So that's certainly one way it's the biggest. But in pure dollar terms, it's the biggest tax cut in history. If you want to look at percentages, percentage of GDP or percentage of GDP divided by the phase of the moon and, you know, added planetary alignment, well, maybe it's not the biggest. But there's, you know, what do they say? There's lies, damn lies, and statistics. You can always make numbers look the way you want. But unfortunately, the media has tried to be negative. But to your point, by doing so, they've discredited themselves. They've discredited themselves. Donald Trump has proved to be a master of unmasking the media and unmasking the system and unmasking the lies simply by standing there, and being who he is and saying what he says, and then everybody attacks him, and it's like a boomerang. They shoot at him with a bazooka, and it comes right back at them. It's just amazing. But let's dwell on the positive, not the negative. I'm sorry. Curtis, but one last negative thing I have to say.
No. Curtis, they used to ask me about the auto industry and whatnot, and what do you think where the cars are made? I said, you know, I used to say, well, I don't clean my bar of soap. And they'd go, what? You know, but at some point you got to trust it's a bar of soap, right? you know, when they try to go to the nth degree with everything, you know.
Yeah,
you
gotta, yeah, you gotta exactly. And they take things so literally. You know, Mark, you brought up a very good point. And this goes back to what people saw, what the average viewer on television saw last night was the boss being one way, saying, let's do this, let's get together, let's work together, let's get the job done. And then they saw the employees, the people they hired to do their bidding in Washington, saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just be grumpy all day and be miserable and be you know, not go along with the program. That's what they saw. And what they felt and what they understood from their own personal experience is, if I acted that way at my job, I'd be out. I would be fired that day.
Very well said.
And Curtis, if you start to see tangible evidence that things are changing in a positive direction, that's not lip service. That's evidence. It's going in the right direction. And I see that, and I feel that.
And, you know, right. This, I'll tell you, this is the largest tax that decrease that I've ever experienced. Whether Reagan's tax cut was bigger or smaller, I have no idea. In most people, we have a lot of young people in America, this is going to be a very positive tax cut for them. You know, in a new world, guys, we don't have that many people committed to anything, especially with the news media over the years, not just recently, over the years, just bringing all nonsense to people, downing everything, never presenting the other side of what can be done better. Just, you know, so there has been a lack of loyalty to the causes that we hold dear.
You're right, Mike, and that's a major, major problem.
And, you know, I think that through broadcasts like ours, you guys on the panel, we're restoring that feeling of loyalty for the American-made label to promote American jobs as people ride down the highway and see all of these empty manufacturing facilities and offices and stores. They're discouraged. when they listened to that speech last night, they were encouraged. Maybe something positive is going to take place. We didn't. What happened in America didn't take place in just 2 or 3 years. This has been a train wreck for 40 years. And it just started to hit us maybe 25 years ago as more and more people were retiring and the young people had no place to go to fill in the people's jobs that were retiring. Curtis, it's math. Loyalty for the American label has to come about. That'll bring in dollars, jobs, and all prosperity for America.
That's right. It's a consumer choice. And once we show a blip that people are actually buying more, there's enough chicken sales, then it will snowball. Every madman on Madison Avenue and every marketing genius throughout the internet and the real world will take notice and say, well, we have something here. And it will shoot down that talk that I hear all the time that, well, Americans just want the lowest price. They will buy anything made anywhere. That's as long as it's cheaper. And that is not true. That is, I know that's not true. I know that people want to support their country, want to support their neighbors, want to support their community. I had people tell me, workers tell me, workers over there at Jack Davis's plant up in Akron, New York, say, I don't care how cheap those boots are. If I don't have a job, I can't afford them. So don't talk to them.
You're right. So, and Curtis, we spoke about that so many times. And the story is this, and this is a very sad end of the story. And now we have a new page we turned with the new president and many people getting on the same sheet of music. But the national and international merchandisers made that happen by focusing on bringing those cheap products to America, killing the products that we had in the line in America, getting businesses to ship everything to be manufactured overseas because it was cheaper, employees were less, taxes were less, all the other things that it takes to run a business. Now we have somebody who's speaking differently. And the national elected leaders, as you said, if they don't like it, they better leave because they're going to be voted out. My thing now is to get rid of all the sour pusses. Take all the lemons out. O-U-T.
Get rid of.
I was frightened by some of those people. And I thought to myself yesterday, some of you people, and I'm not only talking about the Democrats, some of those, the Republicans were all cheering. They were happy because everything was going their way. But some of those Democrats were in there during all Democrat administrations and they did nothing. Republicans were in there during Reagan's time and during Bush's time. They did very little or nothing. Now, the head guy is saying, I want this to be noted to the public. I'm going around to be the cheerleader. And that's now the change of the mindset of the American people, especially people who don't have a job, lost their job to outsourcing, and now their children are coming up the line, and they will not have a job unless we get on the bandwagon of change in America.
That's right. Don't we all know somebody at work, I think everybody, been on a job, been employed at a company or at a shop or wherever, the office. And there's always that one guy or gal who's just the complete pickle puss, you know, prune face, sour puss, always negative, always kvetching. Whatever you say, or whatever the boss says, it's like always miserable. And you always hate that person. You don't want to be around
you
that person.
By Monday
you know you have to be, but you try to, you know... That's what I saw. That's what people saw last night.
You know, and on the same hand, in the same scenario, everybody's worked in a company where at one point or another, you had a boss who you didn't like. And
right.
Maybe he didn't like you. But you didn't like him. You didn't like his leadership style. You didn't like his policies. You thought he was taking your division or your company in the wrong direction. And Curtis put it so well. I was just having this conversation this morning as I was career counseling somebody on the phone about 8:30 this morning, and that is, complaining bitching about the circumstances, giving people a hard time, criticizing, being a naysayer is not how you move a company or how you move Congress forward.
Exactly.
I worked for a guy years ago. He's one of my first mentors at Gulf Oil Corporation, who used to say to me, I would run my mouth about a certain person, a certain thing that was happening. This isn't going to work. He said, la, 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 la. And he'd listen to me, and he'd nod, and then he'd say, Larkin, this too will pass.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolute perfection. This too will pass. Mm-hmm. Just get on with what you're supposed to be doing. Do your best at your job. And in 2 years, there'll be somebody else in there that you might like and maybe you don't like. But it doesn't help when you bring the machine to a halt the way the Democrats have brought Congress to a halt and the Republicans have brought Congress to a halt. They do nothing. I hear all this about DACA, and there are almost three times as many children in this country who are born of American citizens on American soil, third and fourth generation, who go to bed hungry every night.
You're right. You know, Larkin,
we're worried about DACA, and that's all Congress talks about. They don't talk about poverty in this country. They don't. They just don't.
You know, Larkin, if yesterday they had a response to the president's message offered by other than the president. I'll tell you one thing. I was disappointed. I watched only a few minutes because it became the same thing, nonsense to me. What I would have proposed them to do is we heard the president's speech, and this is what we are going to propose to even make things better.
Right.
And instead of downing, build. And by the way, what has Nancy Pelosi or any of these people, Durbin or any of these people down there, given us in writing? This is what they're proposing. Where is that in writing that I could read it and give you a positive or a negative response to it? Have you seen it, Curtis?
No.
Nothing. No, it's bullshit. Total bullshit.
And so, excuse me for a second. Beep. Okay. You know, on the same vein, how did we get in this situation of buying cheap goods made overseas? We've talked about this ad venitum. I mean, we've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. And I was reading a history book the other day, and Harry Truman, it was talking about Harry Truman. Harry Truman told a press writer in an interview, quote unquote, no man can get rich in politics unless he's a crook.
Right.
It can't be done. That's Harry Truman's quote. No man can get rich in politics unless he's a crook. It cannot be done.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clintons, Susan Rice, Harry Reid, and a whole list of Republicans and other Democrats made their fortunes while they were public servants. I mean, Hillary Clinton is worth $110 million. She walked out of the White House broke, and now she's worth $110 million. Susan Rice, $50 million she's worth. $50 million, and she's done nothing but public service. Harry Reid, same thing, $10 million. He retires with $10 million in the bank. That's what has to stop.
Well, you know, guys, I want to tell you that America has been living in a false economy for so many years under so many presidents, under so many houses and senates, that the people now have come to a new way of thinking about what's going on in their life. The false economy has to be pushed aside. Everybody wants to look and see what is in those trade agreements that caused this false economy. Everybody was told it's going to do this. It's going to create jobs. Yes, it created jobs, but not in America. And this is where this has all got to be addressed. And we're talking common sense during this broadcast. Larkin and Mark and Rich and Curtis, we're all talking common sense. Why aren't these people on C-SPAN and all these other places talking common sense, talking to the people, going after the people and saying, I'm all for going after businesses to encourage them to put on their labels that they're made and packaged in America. I want you to go out and make sure that your sons and daughters have jobs and you have a job. Nobody is saying that. They're talking nonsense, wasting airtime. And I would like to say, I'd like to see some of the advertisers come forth and say, we don't want to support that kind of broadcasting in the future.
Mike, I'd like to bring up Dorothy Fortney. Mike, you've talked to Dorothy, my business-to-business connections, and runs our travel division. She's down at the American Bus Association, just flying back up today. She went down Friday to Charlotte. American Bus Association brings everybody around the country in. You got buyers and sellers. The buyers are the tourism groups and the bus owners and the operators. And she sent back every day more and more buses want to come see the store and come up to Western New York. And very, very positive. You know, again, we had 700-plus tour buses visit the Made in America store, but they're very interested in the Made in America products, the quality, what we stand for. And it was great to hear. So she texts me every day that she's got more buses coming. It's just great, Mike. And who would have thought that it would grow and grow and grow to a small town of Elma where we're located, that people want to bring a bus? And the travel industry is growing because they're excited. That's a great, it brings $10,000 to $15,000 economic impact to your area, one bus.
That's right. And people want to see something different. They want to see something positive. I do.
Positive,
I mean,
you're right.
You know, during this election cycle, for president, when Trump and the other 18 or 16 people were up on the stage and we watched Kane and all the, you know, going after each other, Bernie, people started to look at the candidates to see what real value are they providing to the country. And I think that's why so many people, black, white, Asians, went out and voted for change. As I look at the registration records, and Larkin knows because he's worked the polls many years, if you have 500 people show up to vote, they're not all Republicans and they're not all Democrats. Usually you're way outnumbered on the Democratic registration side. But when you go to a place where you have a big Democratic registration and you walk out and more than 50% of the people voted Republican, that means that the people are saying, I'm just not going to vote one way or the other anymore. I want to look at the candidate. I want to look and see what he has to say or she has to say. And that's what happened in this last election. And that's why we had historic numbers of people watching the State of the Union yesterday. It was like almost unbelievable. People were saying to me, wow, everywhere I went, people looked at it, whether they were behind the counter waiting for their sandwiches or getting coffee. Everybody saw that speech yesterday, and everybody saw the reaction of the people who didn't want to be part of the team.
Right. And Mike, if you're talking about stopping the opium, you know, effects on a country and clamping down on the drug lords, you have to clamp, right? Well, how could you not?
That I found very strange. And
how
by the way, 5 years ago, I told you, I mentioned it last week. 5 years ago, I mentioned to a particular mayor in Bucks County who was beginning to have more and more of a problem with the opioids in his area. I said, Mayor, it's time to go after the drug dealers, the people who are going to sell the drugs to the drug stores, to the doctors. You have to go after the source of how these pills and all are making it on the street. And he said, yes. He said, but it's hard to do that. The people in the higher power, the bigger places like in Harrisburg or Trenton or whatever, don't want to do that yet. Yet. But now they're starting to have a new light on it. I hear now that more and more states are going after the drug manufacturers to see how they can cut down. Who goes into a drugstore with a painkiller and gets a 90-day supply? You should only get 10 days and go in and get the other 10 days and get the next 10 days. This is totally, you know, everything on the table. And putting up the wall, stopping the people, whether the wall is electronic or it's solid wall, whatever, it's got to be addressed. The drug situation must be addressed because too many people, and the president yesterday gave the statistics of how many people died last year as a result of the drug situation. I want to tell you guys, we are going to have a lot of things to talk about in the future. But Curtis, I'm going to ask if you can help us promote our theme for 2018, and that's encouraging America's businesses. If you would highlight that to all of your contacts, I'd appreciate it. And also, Larkin, if you can get that message out to all the people that you know and all of your contacts and the various SCORE groups that you know and other business facilitators, ask them to start promoting the Made in America and Made in America label, because it is getting to be very important to people. Also, a lot of people say, well, this stuff is assembled in America. Stuff has been assembled in America for years. We were buying products from overseas for 200 years or more. Let's talk about it's assembled in America, where we know people are being employed, assembling it, packaging, getting it on the shelf. And then the other stuff is sometimes 100% made in America. And also with National Small Business Weekend coming up this and every first Friday, Saturday and Sunday of the month, kindly go out and support your local businesses, because number one, you're helping them to remain employed and you're keeping all the people employed at that store. Number two, you keep all the delivery, the marketing and everything else going on in your community. And also it creates a vibrant economy where you live. And that's the most important thing that you can have, is a vibrant economy. And also everybody's talking about how the taxes are needed. Well, if you shop local, you are helping those stores pay their property taxes, their wage taxes, their income taxes. Please go out and support your local businesses this week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask everyone for some remarks. What's on the agenda for this week after the speech, and what do you see happening in the next few months? I'll start off with Mark Andel.
Yeah, Mike, we're excited. We're just wrapping up January. Of course, today's the last day of January. Who can believe tomorrow's February? You know, it's cold and snowy in Buffalo, but we've had a good start to the year. We're getting excited to set up. Spring's right around the corner. Easter is April 1st. We're getting, we're planning our attack on the second quarter, really. But a lot of work. We're still working with skilled trades, trying to find the more and more kids. But, you know, we are finding them. We're running our own school. We're seeing positive in that idea, working with the local BOCES and whatnot. We just got a lot of positive going on. And a lot of people and the listeners realize if a business is happy, businesses are hiring. Livelihoods, livelihoods, and livelihoods. You got to think of a business as livelihoods, not just making money. It's about creating livelihoods in a good environment. So, you know, people can have and live their dream and the American dream and have food, shelter, clothing, and have comfort and security from a real good job.
Yes, and Mark, I want to mention also, again, that Mark has a Saturday radio show at 9:30 in the morning, but you can listen to past shows by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You'll see the Made in America store link. You can click on that and see all the stuff that Mark has. And also, right under that, it's the Made in America radio show. Check it out. Mark, you are the best. You really stayed focused, and you helped a lot of people in the process, and hopefully you'll be a good cheerleader in your local community during that show. Mr. Connolly, tell us what you are looking for this week and in the future.
Michael, tomorrow morning at 8:30, I close on a new house in St. Augustine, Florida. As a result of that purchase tomorrow morning, I went out yesterday afternoon after a doctor's appointment and pranced into my local Home Depot to buy a washer and a dryer. And I looked at every level of washer and dryer, the new agitators, the new top loads, the glass tops. It's amazing what you can do with a washer and dryer anymore. And I went through the three levels. And I decided, listen, this is the last washer and dryer I'll ever buy as long as I live. It's all it has to do. I'll wash my clothes for the next 10 years. Beyond that, I probably will never change clothes. When I'm in my 80s, I'll wear the same. At any rate, I looked at that salesman and I said, okay, of the three that we've looked at, a separation of $125 from bottom to top, $150, bottom to top. I said, which one is made in America? And he went, what? And I said, which one of them was made in America? And he said, well, the top end one, the LG there that you're looking at, that's made in Korea. And I said, done. Handed him back the brochure. I said, where was this one made? And he said, assembled in Mexico, but it's made with American parts. I said, qualifies. What about this, the low-end one? I mean, low-end, I mean, it was an $800 washer and dryer each. I said, what about this one? He said, oh, well, this is infamously made in America. I said, I'll take that.
That's what we like, Larkin. That's the inspiration that I talk about all the time.
He looked at me and he said, I have been selling appliances for 26 years, ever since I got out of the Navy. Guy's got to be in his late 60s, my age. And he said, I've never been asked that question in 26 years.
Really? What kind was it, Larkin?
Yeah, I bought a GE. So he told me half a lie, but we won't go there. It's the one on the floor that's most made in America.
Excellent.
And the guy said, nobody's ever asked me that before.
Curtis?
Everyone asked me that question.
Curtis, my man, how are you? What do you see?
I see continued improvement in the economy. I see people feeling better, seeing their fortunes improve, and that's going to save this country. And that's what I see.
Well, guys, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And as you know, the Super Bowl is this week. And since we are well supported by our Polonian community, we're going to close off with the Eagles Polka. Go Eagles, go! Until go Eagles. This Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday, my very best to all of you.
The Eagles Polka. Grab a partner and shout it out loud.
The Eagles Polka. The Eagles from Philly, they're number one. Join up the Eagles Polka, 'cause everybody has a mania for the Eagles in Pennsylvania.
Let's go, Larkin.
Fly, Eagles, fly. You are the very best. Fly, Eagles, fly. You stand out from all the rest. Share the feeling. The Eagles are number one. It's time to spread the cheer, 'cause everyone is here to cheer for Philly's Eagles.
All right, have a great week. Go Eagles.